So you guys should listen to that song this week because we might have it coming up soon. It's called The Joy, and it's and Joy to the World, and it's kind of a mashup of two songs. You can only find it on YouTube, believe it or not. I haven't been able to find it anywhere else. So if you've got YouTube or you just look it up online, it's called The Joy, Joy to the World. Dad's amazing. Yeah, I got skills. Sorry. Anyway, hey, Matthias is going to hand out communion for us this morning. So the question is, should I take communion? And here's my answer. Do you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And if so, yes, please do take communion. If not, and you don't know or you're uncertain or whatever it is, don't do it. And I can explain all of that when we get into this. But if you want to take one, you may. And if you don't, you don't have to. You don't have to be a member of this church. You don't have to have gone through any ceremonies or anything like that. It is an open communion. So. So. Communion is a wonderful thing, and I love doing this every single month because it's one of those things that every church, no matter what denomination is or whatever they do, there's a few things that every denomination does, whether you're Assemblies of God like we are, if you're Baptist or, you know, Presbyterian or Catholic even, everyone takes communion. You know, folks do it a little bit differently no matter where they are. Some use wine, some use juice, some use these things that are difficult to open. So if you want to go ahead and try to open it, please do. The little cellophane on top comes off. It takes practice. If you need some help, please ask for some help. Sometimes they get stuck. So that's why I tell people, go ahead and open it up because it takes a little minute sometimes. But if you want to follow along with me. I'm going to be reading out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 this morning. This is written by Paul to the Corinthians church, and he's passing on some information to them. And he says this, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night that he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread, and he gave thanks to God for it. And then he broke it in pieces and said, 'This is my body, which is given to you. For this, do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again.'" This is an amazing, amazing thing that God has done for us. All the way back in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve sinned. And it stained all of their progeny. All the way up until us. God gave Moses a law and said, "Israel, follow this law perfectly and you'll be good to go." But no one can follow the law. All of us fall short of the glory of God, except Jesus, the Son of God, the writer of the Word, the breath of creation. And the Lord God sent his Son down to earth, not only to show us the right ways to live and all that. There's a lot of good moral things in the Bible, which is amazing. Definitely read it, but more importantly than all of that, on Good Friday, the Good Friday, he sacrificed himself for us on the cross. This baby Jesus that we start celebrating this month grows up to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we get to celebrate that, not just the birth of Christ, but the culmination of his work, of everything that he came to do, sacrificing himself on the cross. So we do this in remembrance of him, not just by ourselves, but along with every other church and every other place, every other language within this world. We take communion together. If you'll take your bread in your hand. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that you came. You didn't have to come, but you love us so much that you were willing to give up your body and have your body broken for us. And Lord, we take this bread in remembrance of your body being broken. Please take the bread. After that dinner in the upper room, Jesus took the cup. They were celebrating Passover that night. Death had passed over Israel because of the blood of the Lamb that they'd spread on their doorways. And just like that, God created a brand new covenant with us and said, by the blood of Jesus, you are saved. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have this gift. You have this salvation. And death passes over you. Not that you will not pass away from this world, but that you won't pass away into punishment. And Lord Jesus, we take our cup right now. We thank you for the blood that was shed for us. We thank you for the covenant that you've created for us, God. We love you. In your name, amen. Take the cup. And Lord, we will continue to do this until you return. Our blessed hope is your returning, God. We love you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In your name, amen. All right. We've got some announcements to do, but before we get there, I've got something to show you guys.
In the beginning, before all time, was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God himself. All things were made and came into existence through him, and without him was not even one thing made that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines on in the darkness, for the darkness has never overpowered it. And in the beginning, God created. No one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it will be hidden or under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand so that those who come in may see the light.
Be the light.
Through the arts, fine arts, discover, develop, and deploy.
One of the things that I think is amazing that God has empowered us is to have gifts and talents and abilities. And we all have them. And they're all different. There's things that I'm good at that some others are not. And trust me, people will tell you, especially those who live in my house, there are things that I'm not good at. Thank you, Aunt Kathy. And we need other people to help us along that road in our lives. But one of the cool things that we do as a district, one of the cool things that we do as the Assemblies of God is we want to emphasize young people and their art, their abilities to do music, art, drama, whatever it is. We do a lot of different, there's so many categories, it's really amazing. And so March 28th and 29th, Southern Missouri Youth Ministry is hosting the 2025, yes, it's coming that fast, Fine Arts Festival. And this is an awesome opportunity for anyone who is of youth age. So that's going to be 6th grade up to 12th grade, an opportunity to participate in fine arts. You can put in a painting. You can make music. You can preach a sermon. You can do all sorts of different things. You could do short stories or dramas or, you know, there's some interesting things that are out there that kids can do. And what's amazing is if you are very good at what you do, which a lot of these kids are really amazing what they do, they could get awards and invitations to what's called National Fine Arts. If they go to National Fine Arts, they can compete at National Fine Arts, and they have an opportunity to get scholarships. And how many of you guys have kids that are growing up, and you're thinking, man, college is expensive. Be really nice if we can get some of that paid for. Amen. The Lord has blessed me with 4 of them. 4 more student loans. All right, so... No student loans. We're going to get you guys scholarships, all scholarships for all my kids. And everyone said, amen, thank you. Be praying for that. I'll be praying for yours too. So, right, nephew? Where are you going? All right. So, yeah, I want to encourage you. If you know anyone who is an artist, you don't even have to put in something that's like Christian themed. You can put anything in. This is a way to show off your skills in art. Now, it can't be profane or anything like that. It is a church event. But, yeah, if you know anyone and they want to get involved, I want to get connected up with them, get them hooked up, and get them to fine arts. It's a full weekend of events. It's not just the judging time. There's a time for the students to come together and worship. And, yeah, it's really great. So it's going to be awesome. This is actually going to be happening at Evangel University in Springfield for the Southern Missouri Youth Ministry portion of it. And the National Fine Arts is in Orlando, Florida. So, yeah, it's a busy time in Orlando, but you do have a little bit of time off, and it is during the summertime. So, cool. All right, coming up very shortly... January 8th, we're going to be starting Financial Peace University here. If you want to join Financial Peace University, please go to life360.org/Conway, and you sign up actually through our website there. And don't look at this website anymore. It doesn't exist. That will be changing soon. So life360.org/Conway, and you can go into there, find Church Center. You can sign up for Financial Peace University right there, and we've got you guys covered. There is a fee of $90. That can be broken up into 10 payments, or 9 payments, sorry, 9 payments of $10, and that's perfectly fine. But while you're there, you're going to get great material that you get to keep for a lifetime. You get to learn so much. Honestly, we got rid of tens of thousands of dollars in debt when we did this, and it's biblically based. It's amazing. It's honestly truly amazing. It'll change your life. I highly recommend if you're able to be there. It's $90. You pay it. You're going to get food. You're going to get taken care of. We're going to have a great time. I do have a cap on 10. Why 10? Well, we own 10 books. And anything beyond that is going to cost more money. But if we get to 10 and more people want to come, we might be able to work that out. But it is $90 per family. So we could have 30 people in here. I'm fine with that. This is as long as you guys are willing to share a book and an account and all this other stuff. How do you break it apart? What constitutes a family? Do you have a shared account? That's it. So, does that make sense? Cool. All right. Distribution day is December 19th. Every month we do distribution with our product that's back here that we get from Convoy of Hope and from Life 360 Community Services that brings their stuff in here as well that's donated. And we give it out to the community. We had 70 folks here for our Thanksgiving time giveaway. We had very full shelves that became very empty, and they're getting full again. Isn't that amazing? So the way that works is either Convoy of Hope delivers to us through Life 360 Community Services, Community Services delivers to us, or folks in the congregation give, and food shows up, and it's an amazing, wonderful thing. Rick over here is our awesome coordinator. He's here for every single one of these. Make sure the stuff gets put on the shelves and stocked and rotated. And I think you missed your calling. You should have been in grocery services, right? Retail. No? Oh. So, but that was, it's an amazing time. And I love the fact that he does that. I love it when folks in the congregation step up and do the things of the church. And I was able to be at an event for the high school. So it's just amazing. Thank you, guys. Coming up, December 14th, 4 to 6 p.m., we have Christmas Mansions. Christmas Mansions. I did see that commercial. Did you all see that commercial during the parade? Did anyone watch the Thanksgiving Day parade? When they was talking, the gingerbread man that came out and needed to have a counselor because he's upset because everyone makes the houses that he lives in out of himself. Anyway, that poor guy. So, yeah, invite everyone. We have 78, thank you. We have 78 gingerbread houses. That's a lot of gingerbread houses. And we are selling them for $8 a piece, and it's a fundraiser for the church. $8 a piece, that gets you your house, your candy, as much as you want, and you can buy as many houses as you want. You want to buy 10 houses? Great. Awesome. We love that. So if you don't want to spend $8, you can come and spend $5, and you get cookies that you can decorate. And yes, we are going to have prizes, and we're going to have stuff going on, and it's going to be really, really cool. This is one of my favorite events every single year. This is our fourth time doing it. So we get better every single time. We grow every single time we do it, too. So, all right. Now to business. Christmas Mansions Assembly. So we need your help. We have 72 houses. 78 houses. My brain is slipping that fast. We have 78 houses. We need construction teams. We have 78 houses, and if some break, that happens. But some of them we can return if they're broken in the box. If you happen to accidentally break one in the process of constructing it, well, you could eat one. So, So here at Life 360 Church, December 13th, yes, it's Friday the 13th, but please come. December 13th at 6 p.m., we are going to be here with icing in hand, putting gingerbread houses together all night. It takes like 2 hours with enough people. So, December 14th at 2 p.m., which is, you know, before 4 p.m., we're going to be here setting everything up, getting everything ready for that night because we have a lot of folks that are going to be here. We get an opportunity to outreach into the community, and man, I'm expecting big numbers this year. So, all right, finally, cookies are still needed. We need cookies. So we are quickly approaching December 13th, which is when we need the cookies delivered to the church. Obviously, as you saw, we will be here. So if you have Christmas cookies to bring in, that is a wonderful way to donate to the church to help us out because we'll be able to then do fundraising with those cookies that you guys donate. Isn't that cool? So, all right. Warriors at the Well, Women's Life Group, Sundays at 7 p.m., Miss Marlena is out today. She's not feeling well, so please keep her in your prayers. Is women's ministry happening tonight? Oh, because of the holiday, it's not happening. Not happening today. Nor the Sunday before or after Christmas? Okay. Okay. Did you guys notice who I talked to about women's ministry things? And Marlena leads it, but I don't know anything about women's ministry. I keep saying Leah needs to do the announcements. It's next week. Guys, don't show up. You won't understand. Divorce Care is Monday nights, 6:30 p.m. right here at the church. I highly recommend it. Anyone who's been divorced, contemplating divorce, or is a child of divorce and has some things to work through, I highly recommend you guys come. It's a wonderful, wonderful support group. They work through, there's a curriculum that goes along with it, that there's weeks to go along with it, but you can jump in at any time. And Rick and Janet lead that. They are an amazing, amazing couple of folks, and we've been talking about divorce care, and it's awesome. So this is one of the things that we started up last year, or this year, earlier this year, January. And the folks that have been through divorce care have been blessed by it. So I highly recommend, if you know anybody or if you're one of those folks that needs to come, come. Be here. All right. If you don't already have the Life 360 Church Center app, I highly recommend you download Church Center so you know what's going on here at the church. After church today, we will be decorating the church. We started, but we have more to do. That whole pile of stuff back there has to find its way onto the walls and floors of this church, and we need your help. And yes, we will feed you. Aren't you glad we're going to feed you? Because it's going to be awesome. So it's not going to take that long, but you get food. So cool. All right. Finally, kids, you're so happy this is coming. Bye-bye. All right, kindergarten through sixth grade gets to go with Miss Leah. They're going to be doing BGMC today, Boys and Girls Missionary Challenge. They are going to be talking about missionaries around the world, what they're doing. They're going to help raise money for missions. And did you know that they've given millions of dollars over the years to missions just through their little buddy barrels with the change that goes into the buddy barrels? And it's pretty cool, all the things that they do. Primarily what they do is literature. And then Speed the Light, which is the youth arm of the Assemblies of God missions. They provide the vehicles that transport the materials. And then we have AGWM, World Missions, which is what us adults do. We give to missionaries directly, and those are the folks that are out there doing the work. So we have the folks, we have the way to get them there, and they have the stuff once they arrive. That's a pretty cool system, isn't it? So I'm pretty impressed with all that. So, yeah, awesome. Well, we're going to go ahead and pick up our tithes and offerings this morning, and maybe you can help me with that. Thank you. We're going to pick up our tithes and offerings this morning, and I just want to thank you guys for an amazing year. We've had so much happen this year, so much change this year. You know, when I think about where we are today and where we were in January, just how much has happened, and it's just really, really amazing. And none of that happens without your faithfulness and giving and continuing to be faithful to the Lord and your giving and tithes and offerings. If you do want to give online, there's a QR code up there, or you can go to life360.org/giving, and you click on Conway. You can give to another church if you want, but it won't go to our church. So, all right. Well, Lord God, we thank you so much for the continued giving hearts of the people, this church that help provide the funds for the ministry of this church, God. I pray that you will continue to guide our leadership in how we pursue ministry and how we pursue how we're reaching people, God. As we approach 2025 and future changes to be made, God, I can't wait to see what happens. But as for now and for today, I thank you, Lord, for the giving hearts of the people, and be blessing and have it be a blessing into their lives. In your name, amen. All righty.
God, you threw the whole world a curveball when you showed us a kind of hope we'd never thought to look for. Born of poverty, between the walls of a rickety barn, and into the fragile arms of a nervous young mom, Jesus arrived, unable to defend himself, much less anyone else. We'd been hoping for security, and you gave us a baby. And then, the expectations kept being shattered. Jesus healed those who could do nothing for him. He handed out hope to people the world turned away. Jesus showed us a new way of life, a life that works from the inside out. Hope lives with us, then inside us, and moves from our hearts into the world. Jesus gave us hope beyond this life. Hope no one else has to give. Hope that shows up in a manger as a gift we don't deserve, but we gratefully receive. We call him Jesus. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.
We sang that song, O Come, Emmanuel, and it is a traditional song that is sung during this week of Advent. Our series for the Advent series is Unexpected. Unexpected. And so today, our sermon title is Unexpected Hope. I bet you can figure out what next week will be. We're going to be in Isaiah 7 this week, but this is I want to touch on this real quick. It's the first Sunday of Advent, and for the first week, we talk about hope and prophecy. Hope and prophecy. Those kind of go hand in hand, right? You can have hope, but when there's prophecy behind it, that really helps, right? I mean, think about it. There's a lot of things we have hope in, right? And we don't have a whole lot of prophecy behind it either, do we? Like, I'm going to get in my truck after church, and I hope it takes me home. I have hope that it's going to get me there. I have hope that the mechanics who worked on my truck did the job right. I have a chore list, and I hope my kids do them. Maybe that one needs more prophecy. Sorry. There's a lot of things that we can have hope in that, and we do have hope in that there's no prophecy behind. There's no words behind it. There's no truth behind it. There's no facts behind it. Because the reality is I could be on my way home today and my truck could go, nah, I'm done. It's not likely to happen, but it could. There's a lot of things in life that are bad. And we're like, yeah, that's just going to happen. We can just guarantee that that's going to happen. And maybe it feels like we don't have any hope. Maybe there's something in our lives that we're going through right now, and it looks completely dark and horrible. Maybe it's overshadowing everything about us, affecting our health and our minds, our bodies, our families. We're exhausted. And sometimes you can feel like there's just no hope. There's no hope. There's no way out of this. It's never going to end. It's never going to end. It's never going to end. So the message this week I want to get across to you is this. Despite what's happening in the world around you, hope is coming because Christ is coming. See, the Israelites were going through all this stuff, and they were given a word of hope when they were going through it. And that hope was that Messiah was coming. So we're going to look in Isaiah chapter 7 today. And we're going to be reading a little bit about that. This is during the reign of King Ahaz. Everyone say Ahaz. He didn't hadn't. He has. I know. So we're going to be talking about King Ahaz. And he actually ruled in a very interesting time. I don't know if you know biblical history very well, but at some point in time after Solomon, the nation of Israel split in two, and Israel moved their capital to Samaria, and Judah, the tribe of Judah, encompassed several other tribes as well. They kept their capital in Jerusalem, and very long story short, both nations did bad things. Israel did worse things than Judah. And everyone just basically upset God. Do you ever have two kids fight each other in your family and you're like, would you please just stop disappointing me? That's what is kind of happening here, because God is the Father and his kids are fighting. And so Ahaz is ruling at a time when Israel and all the kingdoms around Israel are like, hey, let's go attack, and we're going to cause some problems. So how do you think King Ahaz is feeling? Let's go with that. How do you think he's feeling? That's my first question for today. He's pretty bad off, right? He's probably pretty scared, especially since this is what he's walked into. Imagine taking over a country while it's at war or while it's under threat of war. All right, so that's where we're at. You guys got the context? So here we go. Isaiah chapter 7. When Ahaz, son of Jotham and grandson of Uzziah, was king of Judah, King Rezin of Syria and Pekah, son of Remaliah, the king of Israel. So Rezin is the king of Israel. And Pekah, the son of Remaliah. They set out to attack Jerusalem, the capital of Judah. However, they were unable to carry out their plans. That's going to be important. The news had come to the royal court of Judah. Syria is allied with Israel against us. So the hearts of the king and his people trembled with fear, like trees shaking in the storm. Let me help you guys here. That's a summary. Okay? Verse 1, this right here. King Ahaz talked about the kings. The attack is coming, but they weren't able to carry out their plans. So now we're going to talk about that. Okay? It's kind of like when you're watching a TV show and they put the ending at the beginning, and you're like, how did they get there? Well, this is how they got there. Okay, the news had come that Syria was going to attack, and the people trembled in fear like shaking in a storm, like trees shaking in a storm. You ever seen a tree shaking in a storm like this week? Yeah. Okay. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, the prophet, take your son, Sheer-Jazub, and go out to meet King Ahaz. You will find him at the end of the aqueduct that feeds water into the upper pool near the road leading to the field where cloth is washed. Meet him at the laundromat. Got it? Okay. Tell him to stop worrying. Tell him he doesn't need to fear the fierce anger of those who burned out, of those two burned out embers, King Rezin of Syria and Pekah of Remaliah. Yes, the kings of Syria and Israel are plotting against him, saying, we will attack Judah and capture it for ourselves. Then we will install the son of Tabeel as Judah's king. But this is what the sovereign Lord says. How many know when God says something else, that other thing is not going to happen? Okay? Because God is sovereign, right? God says this, the invasion will never happen. It will never take place. We already know it didn't happen, because we saw that at the beginning. For Syria is no stronger than its capital, Damascus, and Damascus is no stronger than its king, Rezin. As for Israel, within 65 years, it will be crushed and completely destroyed. True. Israel is completely destroyed by Syria and wiped out. Completely. Off the map. Gone. Israel is no stronger than its capital, Samaria, and Samaria is no stronger than its king, Pekah, son of Remaliah. Unless your faith is firm, I cannot make you stand firm. Later, the Lord sent this message to King Ahaz. All right, so we got one message. And now another message is going out. Because this king, Ahaz, is still scared. And this is the message. Ask the Lord your God for a sign of confirmation, Ahaz. Make it as difficult as you want, as high as the heaven, or as deep as the place of the dead. But the king refused. No, he said, I will not test the Lord like that. How many of you guys know when the Lord says to do something, you do it? Because he's kind of an authority figure. And the king says, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to test the Lord like that. Well, maybe you're thinking, well, maybe that's a good thing. I mean, all the way back in, Deuteronomy 6, there's a passage that actually says that you should not test God. So why is God asking him to test him? Why is God going against the Bible, the Word of God? Why is God going against his Word? You ever wonder that? Does God ever go against his Word? Ever? Never? Okay. So what's happening? God is saying, don't test me. As in, I have not invited you to test me, so don't test me. Now God is saying, test me, because obviously you don't believe me, so test me, try me, anything. It's like getting a genie and you have one wish, and you can have anything. And you go, no, I'm good. How many people are going to take that wish? I'm thinking most of us would be like, okay, let's do it. I mean, if God came in and said, Scott, I believe that, you know, whatever. Test me, anything. All the way from heaven, all the way down to the place of the dead. You can have any test. Anything you want to see, anything you want done, anything you want to have happen. You want money, anything. Fame, fortune, whatever. Anything. I mean, if God showed up and asked me that question, I'm kind of like, okay, let's do it. But King Ahaz is like, nah, I'm good. I don't get it. I honestly don't get that guy. Then Isaiah said, listen well, you royal family of David! Exclamation mark. So he's not happy. Isn't it enough to exhaust human patience? Must you exhaust the patience of God as well? Oh my goodness. He's getting on God's nerves, isn't he? Oh no, that's not good. All right, then, the Lord himself will give you the sign. You don't want to ask for one? Well, I'm going to give you one. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Okay. I've got 4 kids. I know how the mechanics work. But a virgin doesn't give birth. Does she? That's not a thing. So that's pretty much a pretty cool miracle, isn't it? That God can make that happen. By the time the child is old enough to choose what is right and reject what is wrong, he will be eating yogurt and honey, for before the child is that old, the lands of the two kings you fear so much will both be deserted. Then the Lord will bring things on you, your nation, and your family, unlike anything since Israel broke away from Judah. He will bring the king of Assyria upon you. In that day, the Lord will whistle for the army of southern Egypt and for the army of Assyria. They will swarm around you like flies and bees. They will come in vast hordes and settle in the fertile areas and also in the desolate valleys, caves, and thorny places. In that day, the Lord will hire a razor from behind the Euphrates River, the king of Assyria, and use it to shave off everything, your land, your crops, and your people. In that day, a farmer will be fortunate to have a cow and 2 sheep or goats left. Nevertheless, there will be enough milk for everyone because there are so few people that will be left in the land. They will eat their fill of yogurt and honey. In that day, the lush vineyards, now worth 1,000 pieces of silver, will become patches of briars and thorns. The entire land will become a vast expanse of briars and thorns, a hunting ground overrun by wildlife. No one will go to the fertile hillsides where the gardens once grew, for briars and thorns will cover them. Cattle, sheep, and goats will graze there. Nevertheless, that time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. Okay, sorry, I went ahead. The entire land will become a vast expanse in the briars and thorns. Okay, let's finish there. So, Ahaz, dumb guy, king, so respect him. You ever have a dumb politician? Yeah, we still have to respect them, right? Because they're an authority, right? They make some pretty poor decisions sometimes. Ahaz is making a really, really bad choice. Really bad. He's disrespecting God. He's trying God's patience. He's not going to allow, he's not even going to ask God for the proof. God shouldn't have had to come to that point and be like, look, I really want to help you, but unless you stand firm, I can't help you. You ever wanted to do something really nice for someone, but they kept getting in their own way? That's what's happening. Except on a national scale. The people of Judah are getting in their own way. The king of Judah is getting in his own way from his own blessing. And so God says, all right, fine. Here's the sign that everything is going to be okay. A virgin's going to give birth. Okay. Where? When? How? A lot of questions pop up then, don't they? But a prophecy has been spoken. This is going to happen. A virgin will give birth. Now, we all know for certain that that virgin is Mary, and we all know that the child that she gives birth to is Jesus, and that salvation, the ultimate redemption of God's people, comes through Jesus. So they were all waiting for Jesus to come. Now, if you read this passage and you look at it, you're like, well, Jesus is going to come pretty quick, until you read the rest of the passage. And you realize that things are going to go really, really bad for a while. But eventually he will come. So do you see where Israel's at when Jesus' time comes? When Jesus is right before Jesus is born, do you see where Israel's at? They're back in their nation. They're back in their homes. Jerusalem has been restored, not to its former glory. But now they've been taken over by the Romans. And guess what? The Syrians are gone. Their empire is destroyed. It was destroyed by the Babylonians, who also took over Judah. The people left in Judah when the Babylonians moved in, were starving. If you read like Nehemiah and all of these other passages that talk about the return of the exiles back to their nation, there was a bunch of reconstruction that needed to be done. And they couldn't do it alone. Babylon had to pay for it. That's pretty cool, though. God not only exiled his people and to get their act straight, he sent them back over and had the enemy pay for it. Amen. Come on, now that'll preach a little. Right? God, send me into good places and have the bad guys pay for it, please. But Ahaz was scared. How many of you guys are going through junk in your life, or you have gone through junk in your life and you're scared? There's my hand, it's straight up. I've been terrified before about my circumstances. I remember, it's almost 15 years ago from now, my daughter Elizabeth has a congenital skin condition. She was born with it. She's an amazing girl. But when she was born, we didn't know what was going on. And I was scared. I was scared I was going to lose her. the doctors, once they figured out what it was, gave us like odds that she would never grow up past the age of like 4. They gave us all of this stuff, and I found myself in the cafeteria of the hospital, and I'm crying on the phone to my dad, because I was like, look, you know, Abigail came along, and I was like, man, I don't know what to do with a girl. I'm still figuring that out, right? Right? What? Ah, gotcha. I know. We'll talk later. But then Elizabeth comes along. And all of a sudden, I'm faced with the thought of, you know, I might have a kid that can't walk or talk or be or develop. She may have an expiration date on her that's a lot earlier than I was hoping. None of that turned out. Luckily, after days of testing and all this other stuff, we found out that it's just skin deep. She's fine. She's an amazing girl. And honestly, unless you really look, you won't notice. And she's the tougher for it. She's the toughest girl. She's one of the toughest girls I know. Right? Before my mom passed away, do you know where she took inspiration for all of my mom had a lot of health issues before she passed away. And my mom took so much inspiration from Elizabeth. Because that girl went through 15 surgeries before the age of 4. I was scared. You've been scared. And sometimes when you're scared, you do stupid things. Like not listening to God. Not trusting Him. You can get so caught up in your own misery and your own terror that when God throws you a bone and says, hey, you want something? Anything? You go, no, I'm not going to do that. Because sometimes you're too scared to know what's going to happen if you do take it. Some of us don't have the healing in our lives that we need because we're afraid of what it would mean to be healed. What would change? But there's true hope. There's real hope. Isaiah chapter 9, 1-7 says this, nevertheless, the time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. Amen. The land of Zebulun and Naphtali will be humbled. That's Israel. But there will be a time in the future when Galilee of the Gentiles, Galilee, who lived in Galilee? Do you remember? Jesus grew up in Galilee. When Galilee of the Gentiles, which lies along the road that runs between the Jordan and the sea, will be filled with glory. A place that's only known for rejection will be filled with glory. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. You will enlarge the nation of Israel, and its people will rejoice. They will rejoice before you as people rejoice in the harvest and like warriors dividing the plunder. Do you know what? Do you know what harvest is? That's when you get to collect all the hard work, the product of all the hard work, the product of every bit of tilling that you've had to do to that ground, every tending that you've had to do to that ground. And now you get to collect. You get to receive. Now, receiving takes work too. Don't get me wrong. You still have to go out and get it. But you can now receive. Do you know what happens when warriors divide the plunder? That means the battle's over. The enemy is defeated. It's done. and you get to split up the stuff that they left behind after they died. That's what that means. They will rejoice before you just like people who get to rejoice at harvest time, because they get to collect the blessing. And they get to rejoice like warriors dividing the plunder, because the enemy's been defeated. For you will break the yoke of their slavery and lift the heavy burden from their shoulders. You will break the oppressor's rod, just as you did when you destroyed the army of Midian. Guys, so much of us are stuck in our own pain and misery and horrible situations and just brokenheartedness, and you don't realize you're in slavery to that. You live your life around the pain. You become a slave to it. Well, I can't do that because insert pain here. I can't do that because of insert trauma here. I can't have victory because insert history here. You become a slave to it. You will break the oppressor's rod. You can't, that thing that's been beating you up, it's over. It gets broken. It can't beat you up anymore. The boots of the warrior and the uniforms bloodstained by war will all be burned. They will be fuel for the fire. You get it? Every piece of that history, every piece of that pain, every piece of that trauma, every piece of that history is not only dead and gone and destroyed and you are free from it, you get the clothing that it covered itself in, the clothing that you've put on it gets burned up. That stuff that you've put in your life in order to keep yourself from showing off your pain, that stuff gets burned away too. This is big, y'all. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. How many of you guys have heard this verse before? I think we have a song that says this. Come on, right? His government and its peace will never end. How many of you guys wish you had peace that never ended? How many of you guys just wish you had peace? Right? He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. Ahaz, the progeny of David, screwing it up. But don't worry, Jesus is coming. And he's going to do the right thing. The passionate commitment of the Lord of heaven's armies will make this happen. Do you see that last part? Does it say the passionate heart of the people of God is going to make this happen? Does it say the passionate heart of the leadership of a nation is going to make this happen? Does it say the passionate hearts of the children is going to make this happen? No. Who's going to make it happen? What? The Lord of heaven's armies. And who's that? God. Can you stop it? Can you prevent it? Guys, I don't want you to miss this. So catch this. God's going to do it anyway. So you might as well jump on board, or it's going to pass you by. God's going to win in the end. So hop on. You want to get free? You want that slavery to end? You want that pain to end? You want that trauma to end? You want all that stuff to end? You want to find peace in your life? You want to not get ruled by your fear anymore? Well, Jesus is coming. Hop on. Oh, wait, guess what? He already came. He already came. In the end, Ahaz failed. The countries that he feared did crumble. No one followed God's commands, but God was not done. He had a greater plan. God threw the whole world a curveball. Nobody expected this to happen, except for the people that were patient and waited and obeyed God, which was no one. Jesus was God. Jesus is God. Well, that's true. There's that one guy that waited. Yeah, that's true. But here's the thing. God did all of these things, despite all of the darkness in the world, he made a way for salvation. Not with a powerful army or an alliance of kingdoms, which is what Ahaz was hoping would happen. He thought these kingdoms would come and help him. No, that's not how that works. No, God accomplished this whole thing for his people, for us, through a baby. My nephew, Lucius, he was just in here. I mean, he's a toddler, okay? But I remember when he was a baby. And, you know, I've done a lot of things in my life, and I look at Lucius, and I don't think, that guy can help me. Mary and Joseph were changing Jesus' Pampers. Oh, they weren't Pampers, I guess. I don't know what they had back then. Do you get it? How many of you guys have ever looked at a baby and gone, that's my salvation right there? I'll be honest with you. Most of the time I look at my kids and I go, they need some saving. How amazing would it be raising Jesus? That'd be pretty cool. Talk about an easy baby. I bet he slept on time, too. Woke up at the right time. Oh, he was human. I mean, he talked, he walked, he pooped, he peed. That's the good stuff and the bad, right? But all these expectations were completely shattered. Because it didn't come by a man or a king of this world or some great leader suddenly given a mandate. It wasn't accomplished by some angel showing up in front of somebody and saying, here's a word, write it down. It didn't happen through some ceremony. It didn't happen from some child sacrifice or anything like that, or a pagan ritual or anything like that. It happened through a baby born to a broke family in a stable. A baby that was sleeping in a food trough. How many of you guys know if you've just had a baby, that's not exactly where you want to be? But there's no room in the inn. See, what a picture. The people of Israel were doing everything they could to follow the government and do whatever the government told them to do. They had no room for Jesus. That's how he showed up. But God provided hope to the entire world, despite the fact that they all disobeyed him. He showed up in new life. How many of us could have predicted that? Isaiah did. That's what prophecy's for. Here's the thing. There's so much going to be happening in your life. You could be 16-year-old. You could be 60 years old or 70. You still have time. If you're not gone, if you're not gone to heaven, God still got stuff for you to do. So get on it. God's moving. Better move with him. Get on. If you find yourself in a difficult place and you need a little hope in your life, I present Jesus to you. A little baby born in a manger who would grow up to be the man that we know from the Bible, who'd sacrifice himself on the cross so that we could be saved. So that today, those of us who believe in him with our entire hearts could know for certain that when this life passes away, that we can have a place in heaven. Not in the place of punishment, which we deserve. Hell's not good. It's not a great place. You don't want to go there. I don't care what magazines or whatever told you in the past or what parties rock stars have told you about there being in hell. It's not a thing. They lied to you. You don't want to go there. Besides, I'll be perfectly honest with you. I've been to a few parties in my life and it gets tiring after a while. You really just want something real and genuine anyway. But it's not even that. It's horrible. It's worse. It's worse than anything you can ever imagine, and heaven is better than anything you can ever imagine. It's indescribable. You read about any of the descriptions of heaven in Scripture, and it's like they're trying to wrap it around things that they can understand. You can't get it. The reality is this: he's God. There is no other. There's no other way. There's no other way to heaven except through Jesus. And when we rebel against him, when we refuse to trust him, when we reap the results of such a foolish choice, because it's so foolish to disobey God, God still comes in to deliver mercy. Guys, that's a God who should be trusted. Hope comes from God, and he is always going to present it to you in the most unexpected way. He's God with us. Emmanuel. Stand with me. Lord Jesus, you are the great hope. You are the hope of this. You're the hope of these people. You are the only chance we have, God. So many of us have pain in our hearts. So many of us have these deep, dark, secret things in our hearts that we have covered up. Maybe it's not traumas. Maybe it's decisions that we've made to be unfaithful to you, or even to be unfaithful to others. God, I pray that you would forgive us. Lord, you've commanded us to share who you are, to teach others what you've taught us. It's plain as day. It's right there in the book. And too many times we don't do it. We disobey you. We didn't commit a sin, but we sure did omit the right thing to do, which is also sin. And we need forgiveness, God. Church, I'm going to do something we haven't done in a while, but I want to do it today. Anyone who wants to give their life to Christ today, or even recommit their life to Christ today, whatever you want to call it, we're going to pray a prayer as a congregation. I'm going to say the prayer, and I want you guys to repeat it, everybody. We're not going to single anybody out or anything like that. If you know Jesus and you love Jesus, this is just a recommitment that you're stating. It's like telling Jesus that you love him all over again. If this is your first time saying this, this is it. This is your salvation. This is your moment. Write this time down. Write this day down, because this is it. Don't miss this. Everyone repeat after me. And if you're not comfortable praying this at all, just keep silent. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for coming to this world. Thank you for saving me. Please forgive me of all of the things that I have done wrong. All the times I've broken your heart. All the times I've broken your law. All the times I haven't done what I was supposed to do. Lord Jesus, please be in my life. Be my Lord and Savior. My hope is in you today. I give you all of my pain, all of my past, all of my traumas, all of my fears, and I trust you today. You are a good Lord. You are a great King. In Jesus' name, amen. Folks, it doesn't get any better than that. It doesn't get any better than that. I challenge you today. If you believe in everything that you just prayed, whether you prayed it the first time or 100 times over, seek God today. Your acceptance of Christ does not make bad things go away. It doesn't change the nature of this world. Bad things happen to good people. Good things happen to bad people. It's just the way of the world. It's broken. But we won't be here forever, will we? Because here's the truth. Christ is coming. He's coming back. And when that happens, this whole place is done. Lord Jesus, I pray for everyone here as we get ready to leave, God. I pray that we would take your message with us, that we would share it to people, that we would teach people what you have taught us, God. Help us to know you more. In your name, amen. Hey, God bless you guys. If you want to stay behind and help us decorate, there will be pizza. So, all right.